Good evening, everybody. Welcome back.
What's good about it?
And you being here, not much.
Screw you. All right.
Good evening. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs down there, John Stalica back with us, and from bracketeer.org with the curtain behind him there, Rocco Miller. Conference USA country there tonight.
I wish, but the curtain is representative of our favorite conference tournament.
Okay. This is our Under the Radar show, though. And, John, welcome back. I can give you a chance, since you're back now, to tell everybody what Under the Radar means.
Well, Under the Radar involves two qualifications. It's not a member of the regular multi-bid conferences, so none of the Power Five conferences, nor do we have the Big East, American, Atlantic 10, West Coast Conference, or Mountain West. And the second rule is you can't be a member of the top 25 like Buffalo is right now, because they are considered to be on the radar, as it were.
Yep, we're going to discuss those other 22 conferences minus Buffalo.
Right.
And we like to start with a feature conference every week, David. I thought that we would start with one. Actually, this is in tribute to you, Rocco. I think you're going to be at one of this conference's games tomorrow night. So let's go ahead and pull up the standings here on the screen there, and the Colonial Athletic Association, if it worked right.
Yeah,
sometimes we get pictures of San Antonio.
Yeah, well, you know, we do like the Conference USA, which is, you know, does have a team in San Antonio.
It does, yeah.
But Rocco, how about the Colonial, and how about this Hofstra team?
Ooh. Yeah, Hofstra's on a tear. They've won, what, is it 12 now, 12 in a row? And 5-0 in the league, of course.
12 in a row, yeah.
Last week, on Thursday night, they had an epic triple overtime battle that they survived at William & Mary. In a game where Justin Wright Foreman, who is probably the player of the year this far in the CAA, played all 55 minutes and put up 37 points, took a ridiculous 14 three-pointers and only made two of them, took 33 shots overall. So, you know, this Justin Wright Foreman is really just kind of taking Hofstra on his back, and it's working. The other guys are finding their roles behind him. But fun story brewing in Hempstead, New York.
Yeah, and, you know, the 12 wins in a row, a 57 net, which is very respectable, although none of their other ratings are quite in that range. But, David, the team we had been looking before the past couple weeks has been this Charleston team that's on the right there.
They've hit the skids a little bit with losses to JMU and Drexel. Really surprising. And I got to say now, I've already messed up my under the radar top 10. I meant to vote for Hofstra. But anyway, they still have the win against VCU, which I figured if anyone was going to make any sort of run at the bubble, it would have been them, just because they had the win out of conference. But a really bad week for Charleston, and just kind of a setback.
But I think by the same token, it's also a bit of a missed opportunity for Delaware as well, because they're another team that's on Hofstra's heels, but also ended up losing to Charleston that keeps them within the muck for what's actually going to be between second place and seventh place, which is separated by at most a game and a half.
Yeah, Hofstra really sprinting away from the league here. We're not even to the halfway point. We're 5-6 games in, depending on the team, and already Hofstra 2 games in front of everybody. So essentially, like, they've got a 2-game lead after playing 4 games.
Yeah, and with metrics that are not even that blowing everyone away. The only team with top 100 metrics is Charleston, and that's only in a few of them.
Right,
Rocco, you're going to get a chance to see a couple of these teams tomorrow night, aren't you?
I am, yeah. So tomorrow I'll be in Boston for the big matchup with Charleston and Northeastern, which I'm calling it a big matchup still, because I still give both teams a shot to come back and possibly overtake Hofstra by the end of the year. We'll see if that is going to happen or not as time goes on. But I think these teams are potentially still the best chance for a CAA team to win in the March Madness bracket, because Charleston's got guys like Brantley and Riller that have great experience that came back from last year's team that was a 13 seed. Northeastern, they blew out Alabama earlier this year. They had a nice win against Harvard, Eastern Michigan, St. Bonaventure. So I think Northeastern is still waiting to hit their stride, and they've got another crack at Hofstra in a few weeks. Although they'll need to protect the home court tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing these two teams play. I think it will be a close game.
And Charleston may overlook this game a little bit with a big matchup with Hofstra coming up on Saturday on the road.
Yeah.
Big trip for them. Yeah. And I think UNC Wilmington's their travel partner, so they'll be up against that same test.
Right. They are, yeah.
David, at the bottom of this conference, Towson, you know, we've been singing their praises for a couple of years. I mean, it's really headed back to the
Right. You kind of hate to see this. Pat Scarry did an incredible job. They were a Centenary Award winner, albeit a controversial one, and then they were on probation. I believe it was for APR reasons, and he really turned them around to being very respectful, one of the better teams in the league, arguably one of the best teams in the league there for a couple of years. But I guess this is them kind of at the bottom of their talent cycle. I don't think – I think this is more of an anomaly than anything else, that in future years they're going to be a lot better than this. But, yeah, disappointing year for Towson. And for a lot of these teams too, like this conference was in its heyday before realignment. I would consider it about on the level of what the Missouri Valley is now. It didn't get multiple teams in every year, but it did about half the time. And it generally the team at the top of this league was inside the bubble. VCU, not in this league anymore. Actually, their final 4 year, they finished fourth in this conference. Most people don't remember that, but they were, I think, only 11-7 in conference play. And Drexel's had some really good teams. I don't know. You kind of hate to see this league not really it's a shell of what it used to be.
And we'll get into this a little bit later, but unlike the Colonial, the Missouri Valley doesn't really have a clear-cut favorite right now because of parity within the conference.
Right. How does we go to Missouri Valley? But John, let me stick with you, actually. How about we talk about the America East instead? Which saw exciting games tonight, including Maine with a complete choke, fouling a player with half a second left to lose to Hartford. For those of you like me that actually watched that game.
Well, it's also damaging in the sense that Maine really could have separated themselves at least more towards the top eight, because they're used to fighting just to qualify for a conference like the America East tournament. So yeah,
only eight teams do make this tournament, but let's talk about the top of it though.
There actually are some good teams in this conference.
I got to give a shout out to Maine. Come on.
Like, here we have Stony Brook in Vermont. Chad decides to start with Maine.
Of course. We had Lee Delvecchio. He's a big Maine fan on last week.
We got a lot of education last Thursday on Maine. It was enlightening to say the least.
From the parking lot of Five Guys, it was
incredible. What's going on with this Albany team? I can't remember them ever being this bad.
Yeah, I can't either.
They got beat pretty good by UMass Lowell tonight.
But on the bright side, when's the last time we talked about a pair of Long Island teams leading their respective conferences with both Stony Brook and Hofstra?
Stony Brook, really good.
There they are.
You know, all of the wins away from home, more than any other D1 program right now. 15-3 overall in their losses. One to Hofstra, the team we just got done talking about. One to Brown, who's making a lot of noise this year.
Yeah.
And then the other one really is kind of a head scratcher to cross. But
and in fact, Chad had also pointed out in our little chat, South Carolina is the gift that keeps on giving for Stony Brook, because that win is actually looking better for the Seawolves now.
Yeah, South Carolina picked up another win tonight. That is not under the radar. Vermont over there on the left is under the radar. Only one questionable loss, and that's not a horrible loss, even though it's a Tier 4 loss against Bucknell. Because it's a decent Bucknell team with a shot at the NCAA tournament, I think. But they have nothing in the top two quadrants. So,
They missed out.
Yeah, Rocco, they didn't give themselves a chance, even a chance to be on the board for an at-large pick.
Well, no. Had they beaten Kansas and Louisville, I bet they would have been on
the board. Well,
they would have been on the board, yes.
Okay.
And they're not going to get those chances in this league. I mean, they'll play Stony Brook twice, will be their best two games left on the schedule, maybe three times.
I think by the same token.
I was going to say, John, here, the game at Stony Brook here on the 26th is their only chance for a quadrant two win even.
And that's assuming that Stony Brook doesn't stumble before then either.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here for this weekend and next week in the A-Sun. And we've got Stony Brook making that dangerous trip to Maine.
Yeah, we've learned so much about Maine in the last week and a half, about all of their facilities and the buy-in from the administration. That was quite an education on Maine last week.
Yeah, they got the Maine Albany trip, so they should be 5-0 after next week.
Yeah, but the reason you should watch is I think it's a two-horse race. I don't think Hartford has what it takes to stay in there because, again, they struggled to beat Maine tonight. But the reason this is important is because home court advantage is a big deal. It's a huge advantage during the conference tournament, and that's how it plays out. So every week there kind of is that storyline of Stony Brook and Vermont competing against each other, even if they're not playing each other. So, I like that. I think that the way that this league feeds into its conference tournament is one of the things that makes it so much fun to watch. And it's worth watching all week long, Stony Brook and Vermont, all year long.
All right. Let's keep moving along here. Rocco, the A-Sun Conference.
Another league that doesn't write.
How about North Alabama sitting here? Actually, let me update the scoreboard here. They should be up to 3-1 now.
Yeah.
Update. There it is, 3-1
now. Yeah, wow. Right on the
– Yeah, they are 3-1 now, and they've won three straight. Including I was really impressed with the win over the weekend. They beat NJIT at home. Definitely didn't see that coming. They're still rated in the metrics in the 300s. So, I'm very impressed and surprised.
But more importantly, though, the Lipscomb, John, tonight went to NJIT and just crushed them.
Well, not surprising in that NJIT still probably has the hangover from the weekend, but Lipscomb, outside of a couple boardwalk losses to Belmont, they've been, I would say, the most consistent team in this conference outside of Liberty.
Yeah, and David, yeah, that's the other team here is Liberty. That, you know, these two teams both looking really strong in this conference.
Yeah, and I'm about ready to mail it in on NJIT. They looked pretty good out of conference, but, I mean, off to a 1-2 start. Losing to North Alabama and then not even putting up a fight at home tonight. Lipscomb, who is very good, by the way, just clobbering them. So I think it's Lipscomb and Liberty, not just that they're both 4-0, but the margin of victory that they've won by and what they did out of conference. I think it's a two-horse race. And, again, fun to watch because home court advantage is on the line.
Yes. Well,
we're probably going to be in the same situation next week. Liberty's hosting North Florida and maybe a dangerous North Alabama team coming up Monday night. Yeah. Lipscomb only one game this next week hosting Kennesaw.
Chad, I do have a question that I don't know the answer to that you might. North Alabama, not eligible for the postseason, but in the past, this league has let those teams play in the tournament. Would North Alabama have that chance, or are they just – not this year, do you know?
That's a good question, but given that there are 9 teams now and only 8 teams are in the tournament, that might be they might not be in. I don't believe that they're going to be playing in the A-Sun tournament, but I will try to get that confirmed.
Yeah.
Well, I think they are eligible for the CBI or CIT.
Oh, yeah, they're eligible for those.
Yeah, they got to get up to 500 for that, and being 6-13 right now overall, they got a long way to go to get there.
Right, yeah.
Let's move over to the Big Sky Conference. John, let me let you start things off over here where this year's Front Range champion, although David is not a Front Range fan anymore, is still in first place despite losing the home game badly to Montana over the weekend.
Well, they also blew a chance to get a little bit of a separation because most of their wins so far have come basically against the bottom half of the conference. They did rebound at Montana State on Monday night.
Nice win there, yeah.
It's also important for Montana because they're actually still within a game of Northern Colorado after their slow opening.
Yeah, Rocco, this Montana team, is that the win they needed to just finally get things rolling? We keep thinking they're going to get rolling, and then they slip up again.
I don't know because I was stunned that they lost to Eastern Washington. I'm a close family member that goes to school there, and he couldn't believe it either because this Eastern team is really bad this year. So the fact that they're either playing down to their competition or The fact that these are even close games against a lot of these big sky teams tells me they're not nearly as good as they were last year.
Yeah. And a shout out to Sacramento State, who it appears played a total of 6 out of conference games against D1 teams.
David, I was going to ask you, Weber State, we haven't talked much about them this year, but they've been a powerhouse in this conference in most years.
Right. Well, up until the start of conference play, there wasn't a whole lot of reason to say all that much about them. I think they had a nice win over BYU, but I mean, we just thought it was going to be Montana, and Northern Colorado kind of got off to they had a really good November. They hadn't really done much good since then, but yeah, I mean, the Wildcat looking pretty good so far. 4-1, top of the league. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, in fairness to Sacramento State, I think they had a couple games that were postponed because of the wildfires back in November.
We got to start the show over.
So I don't know if those are going to be rescheduled or not.
Yeah, those are going to be tough to make up, I think, at this point. But an interesting note on Weber State is they played, 4 other D1 schools from Utah. And the only one they beat was BYU. They lost to Southern Utah. They lost to Utah Valley, and they lost to Utah State.
Yeah,
that's the upcoming schedule. They kind of circle this game Saturday, though. Now, Northern Colorado, Weber State is a first place battle here, assuming that Weber gets by Idaho State on Thursday night.
Right, and you know what we were saying about the A-Sun and the America East with home court advantage being on the line? Not in this league.
Yeah, not in this league, but they're not in Reno anymore. They're going to Boise this year, I believe.
Correct? Yeah, because if there's any place more exciting to be than Reno, it's Boise. The Big Sky is any there. There's no Big Sky teams in Reno. There's no Big Sky teams in Boise, and there's no people at the Big Sky tournament. Why don't they go back to campus sites?
Rocco, Big South Conference is coming up on the screen right now. Radford, who had struggled towards the end of non-conference play, started to turn it around again?
Looking like it, yeah. I like Radford team too. I think they are a pretty good basketball team in general. I mean, when they went and beat Notre Dame on the road and went and beat Texas on the road earlier this year, I think it really the schedule caught up to them in December because they had to play 5 straight road games, and none of them were easy per se. I mean, they did lose the James Madison one, but they had to go to – after they beat Texas, they had to go there, and then they had to go to Ohio, then Clemson, then Greensboro. So that was just murderer's row, and then again at Maryland at the end of December. So now they're getting back to their roots, and they're starting to play some home games again, and I think they're the favorite.
And, John, you want to bring attention to the game that was played tonight. Longwood beat Winthrop 75-61.
The Winwood!
Yep, this was a Longwood team that – got off to a hot start and did cool off a bit in January, but Winthrop, who's usually at the top of this league,
they had been tied for it, yep.
Yep, kind of stunning in that they would lose by double digits at home to Longwood. So,
well, when the Winwood Cup is on the line,
records out the window.
Yeah, you just throw the records out the window.
Got to give another shout out again to UNC Asheville. Got clobbered at home tonight by Campbell. Now 0-15 versus D1.
Oh, man.
We're going to be discussing this team as the worst team in D1 for our centenary award.
Right, season. And you might notice, I mean, you got all the rankings up there, Chad. The net and the RPI, very similar with UNC Asheville.
KPI, SOR. a little disappointed in that 345 Sagarin rating. We've got to work on that one.
Yeah, and their adjusted defensive deficiency all the way up to 339. So, I mean, there's only – there's 15 teams that play worse defense than they do.
And look at their offense is 344. They tempo is 349. They're slow and they're bad.
This is just stunning to me. I mean, they must have lost everybody when Coach McDevitt left to take the Middle Tennessee job. Yeah. Because you could have never expected this. The town of Asheville is one of the fastest growing towns in the country.
An incredible place to visit, beautiful area.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, they were good. They were real good. I mean, this is just a stunning, first to worst story. And
this isn't Alabama Pine Bluff or Arkansas Pine Bluff or Alabama State. It's
a
program that should have beat Syracuse in the tournament.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if I'm going to school and I want to go to any of these big South cities and I'm going to choose by the city I'm living in, I'm probably choosing to go to Asheville.
Probably.
Yeah. Out of these 11 places, but I mean, obviously there's more.
Well, it's the only, Charleston Southern is in
Charleston's North Charleston. Real nice. Well, that's the North Charleston. Well,
the North Charleston, not as nice as Charleston. I still want them to change the name of the school to North Charleston Southern.
The upcoming schedule in the Big South is on the screen. David, huge upset coming Saturday, Radford at Asheville?
No.
Okay. Radford's also
on public. Monday when they go to Winthrop.
Yeah.
Let's keep moving along here. John, the Big West Conference, let's take a look there and the where the we got a three-way tie now between the Eaters, UCSB, and Northridge 2-0.
Well, Irvine is a team that was expected to be up here along with Santa Barbara, who I think had the notable win against San Francisco back in December to jumpstart their season. But obviously Northridge would be the surprise so far, but winning at Cal Poly, about the only thing of note so far on their schedule from the week.
Yeah, Cal Poly is really down this year. The UC Riverside's not – they're probably second to the bottom in my book in terms of power rankings in the Big West. But right. Northridge is playing everybody pretty tough. You know, they kicked off the season with that overtime thriller with New Mexico.
Yeah.
So they're gonna give some teams fits, I think, with Mark Gottfried coaching there. And I think, you know, Irvine, Santa Barbara are definitely going to be the class of the league. But teams like Long Beach State and trips to Hawaii are going to possibly trip them up.
Yeah, Mark Gottfried, I think he's going to get it going there. The absence of Reggie Theus already paying dividends off to a 2-0 start in league play. But other than that, like, I think it's a two-horse race. I think Northridge is up here because of who they've played, not how good they are. We're only two games in. It's Irvine and Santa Barbara.
Well, real interesting week for Irvine. They're at Northridge on Saturday after they host Long Beach later on tonight. In fact, and then next Wednesday, they're at Hawaii. So a couple tough road tests coming up.
To win at Hawaii. I think Hawaii only has – they typically only lose two or three games at home a year. It's not easy to win out there.
Those are usually in the exempt tournaments that they're hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah. In their Big West home games, they've been known to get some home cooking from the officials. And it's also just, you know, travel is tough on the road team. So that will be a tough game in a week. But tonight is the black and blue game, a big rivalry in Orange County between
Long Beach and
Irvine. I'm not making that up, but that actually is called the black and blue game.
No, it is, yeah.
That's a real rivalry, unlike, let's say, the Riverfine Cup. But,
right. Or the Wynwood Trophy.
The Wynwood Trophy, yes.
No, the black and blue, yeah. That's going to be fun tonight.
All right, let's
this week we have to highlight the Divine matchup between Davis and Irvine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Let's move along, though, to Conference USA, please. we talked about teams in San Antonio. And Rocco, how about that first place team from San Antonio?
The Roars!
Who lost to non-D1 St. Edwards to start the season.
Well, they lost that game without Javon Jackson. So I'm going to give them a pass. Javon Jackson is a heck of a player.
But it's still a non D1 team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they had 11 other D1 players as opposed to St. Edwards, who had none.
All right, fair enough. They shouldn't have lost that game. But now this is a team capable, I think, of winning the league. They're certainly a contender. And I think them in North Texas are pretty even right now, just in terms of where they are power ranking wise. The way I'm kind of organizing this, but it's a fun league because you got those two teams, and then you've got Old Dominion. We're trying to figure out how good they truly are. They had a topsy turvy week, and then Western Kentucky. They've got Charles Bassey, who's a lottery pick, will be a lottery pick. It's going to come down to who gets hot at the end of the year. Five or six that can do it.
Yeah. But to David, though, the team that I was really impressed with their win over Western Kentucky, how about this Marshall team? They were in the tournament last year.
Yeah, they were. I think they lost quite a bit from last year, but they're still really strong. I don't like them as much as I like North Texas or La Tech or Old Dominion or depending on the day, Western Kentucky. They're both the most surprising and disappointing team in college basketball this year, all at once, WKU. The one thing about this league, Chad, is like we were really excited about it shortly after the season started, because in the first week or two, they racked up some pretty good wins, and they maintained that sort of throughout the rest of out-of-conference play. The problem is the teams that got the big wins, Southern Miss, La Tech to a degree, Old Dominion, Western Kentucky certainly getting a couple, those aren't the teams that are kind of done well once conference play has started. And any chance at all at landing inside the bubble goes away when the teams that get the wins are losing to the teams that didn't.
And even a noisemaker like Florida Atlantic, who jumped on the map for winning at Central Florida, lost at home to Charlotte over the weekend, which is not a good sign.
We also had a little controversy in this conference over the weekend, though, in the UTEP Rice game, where UTEP made a three at the buzzer to win the game on a full court pass. It was a stationary full court pass on top of that. But there was half a second left. He caught the ball. He turned, and then he shot. I don't think you could do that in half a second to begin with. And now Rocco has launched a protest because they also think that the ball was tipped before that even happened.
Yeah, I don't know if the protest is going to work out for him, but I do think it was a bad call. And my heart goes out to Scott Pera and the Rice Owls, because they were on the verge of going to 3-2 in the league. And this is a team that was in the mid 300 last year in terms of KenPom rating. And so he's doing a great job turning them around. The week before, they swept Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech, which was huge for the program. And so you just hate to kind of see that happen to a team that's trying to rebuild, and then every win will give them a lot of confidence.
It's a tough break for Rice, but it would just open up too many cans of worms if they were to overturn the result of that game.
It can't be overturned. What's going to happen, I think, is that the league will acknowledge, and I believe they already have, that there was a mistake with the call. The only way a game can be overturned is if a referee doesn't make a mistake in the sense that he misses a call, but enforces a rule incorrectly because he doesn't understand the rule. That's not what happened here. He just missed the call. It will not be overturned, but that's still no reason not to protest, because at the very least, if they could get an acknowledgement from the league, I think that that's a little something and that's still worth doing. But either way.
Well, you hope it doesn't, only the top 12 teams make it to the battle in the curtain, and I hope it doesn't affect Rice there. But I think they're good enough to avoid the bottom two there.
Yeah.
Upcoming schedule, David, what are you looking forward to hearing USA this week?
FAU, Marshall, La Tech, Old Dominion. Big night tomorrow night. I like those teams. And then, like, San Antonio, can they keep it up when they go to UAB, who's kind of good at home? So a couple good games.
UAB's been solid. Also, kind of coming up Monday, that Marshall-Western Kentucky game, might want to circle that one as well.
Yeah.
So there's actually some pretty good games here in this conference for those of you that can see them, because some of them are in ESPN Plus, some of them are still pay-per-view USA.
We do pay for them.
They're on Stadium too. I caught a couple games on Stadium last
year. On Stadium, they're all over the place. John, how about the Horizon League and not only what's Northern Kentucky 4-1, but Detroit 5-1 now behind Mike Davis's son.
Well, it was going to be an easier trip this week for Detroit, hosting both Green Bay and Milwaukee, but you got to give credit for them for cashing in after what had been a relatively tough non-conference schedule that included trips to Xavier, Dayton, and Butler that have prepared the Titans for Horizon League play, which is actually wide open because of NKU's relatively slow start and Wright State being decimated by injuries, which have hurt them far more than we thought.
Well, that was a solid window by Detroit over Green Bay team that has beaten Belmont early this year, although Green Bay kind of fading at this point, though. Rocco, though, nice win by NKU over Wright State. Actually, David, let me ask you about it, because I think you were actually at the game, NKU and Wright State.
Yeah, a nice win by Northern Kentucky. They're having a really nice season. They're the only team that is. As you noticed by looking at that, they're the only team with a winning record against D1 competition. But aside from that game itself, Rice State in Northern Kentucky is kind of developing into a pretty good rivalry. I still think it's at the stage to where there isn't a whole lot of malice yet. I think they kind of are both at the point to where they think it's cool that they have a showcase game and they have a rivalry. They haven't gotten to the point to where they just can't stand each other yet, but I do think that it'll get there, because when you look at these, at the games that these teams have played over the last 3 years, really, they've all been close. They've all been down to the wire. Stalika and I actually went to the game at Wright State. Was it last year? And that
it was last year.
Yeah. And they're relatively close in distance. They're about an hour apart. Both teams have fans that travel really well. There were over 8,000 people at the game on Friday. I was really stunned with the amount of support and energy at the game. It was, I mean, by under the radar standards, I mean, as much as we love these teams, there just aren't many under the radar games where there's 8,000-9,000 people there.
But David, I got to ask you, how much of the game did you actually get to see? Because didn't you get thrown out?
You said
I think that says more about security at Wright State that they would let him in.
Yeah. Well, it was on television, so I was able to watch it after getting thrown out.
Rocco,
I thought you said not to bring that up.
Rocco, here's the upcoming schedule. What are you looking forward to this week in the horizon?
Yeah, so it looks like, well, with NKU and Wright State being travel partners, they're going to two teams that they should stomp this week. So I'm expecting to see a couple blowouts across the board there. With those matchups, but UIC and Green Bay on the at Green Bay, that could be a good one. Green Bay plays really well at home, and then Oakland and Detroit with a game which is they're the travel partners and the natural rivalry there, about 30 minutes apart from each other. That one could get really fun at Detroit.
Right, I mean, we could see Detroit 6-1 here after really struggled in non-conference. So great turnaround for them in conference play so far.
They seem to be playing better every time out, too, with the exception of the game they lost. But they just continue to improve. So it's a fun one to follow.
Although I guess this is the way Mike Davis has done it. When he was at Texas Southern, they lost all their non-conference games and won in conference.
He just doesn't believe in winning non-conference games is what it comes down to.
Played a slightly tougher schedule when he was there, but
we'll go.
David, the Ivy League is up on the screen now, where we still have four teams that haven't even played a conference game, but we did most notably see Princeton complete the sweep of Penn, and that was huge for them.
It was. Penn was a team that had quite the profile out of conference. It's since just gone completely into a tailspin, losing badly to Toledo, twice to Princeton. Not that Princeton is awful, but
– and Monmouth.
Yeah, in Penn starting out 0-2 in a league where you got to finish in the top four just to stay alive, you know, are they even going to catch up and be relevant? I still think they can finish in the top four, but Brown, really good. Yale, pretty good. Princeton, obviously pretty good. I mean, it's not going to be easy. And Harvard, let's not forget them, the talented team that never lives up to expectations.
And by the same token, Penn's not going to have the palestra in their back pocket this year, because I believe it's moved up to Yale for the conference tournament this year.
Right. Rocker, you see there Yale, Brown, Columbia, Cornell, that filing in their first conference games. But kind of circle, how about this game, this Penn Temple Big Five game coming up on Saturday?
The way Penn's playing lately, I don't expect much. I think Temple should take care of business. But, you know, it's a Big Five game, like you said, so you sometimes throw the record out the window there, right? So we'll see if they bring any fight this week. They haven't in the two games, or they didn't last week against Princeton, which was shocking because that game was at Penn. Shout out for Dartmouth, too, for crushing Harvard. I can't remember that happening anytime recently.
All right.
And the interesting thing is this year, it's for Ivy League standards, this is a pretty deep league. Cornell is solid, and Dartmouth's capable of blowing out Harvard. I mean, I think everybody except for maybe Columbia, you can make a case for getting in the top four.
Yeah, it should be a fun battle for that top four.
Ivy League always fun. Always a fan of it.
John, the Metro Atlantic Conference. Do you want to give us about 2 seconds, which is all this league deserves?
The Canona Cup between Iona and Canisius, with Gales winning to get within a game of first place, because otherwise we're just covering Ryder's two road wins up in the Buffalo area.
Yeah, how about Ryder cracking the top 158 this week?
Well, congratulations to Ryder.
Quinnipiac had a nice double overtime win, and then they also beat Fairfield. A good week for Baker Dunleavy's boys.
And Monmouth with three conference wins now after almost going 0 for the non-conference other than the win at Penn.
Yeah, so Iona, another team off to a 3-1 start. I realize that this league is atrociously bad, so you can't give them too much credit for that. But Iona going through quite a bit of turmoil off the court before the season even started, only winning two of their OOC games. We love Tim. We love to ride Tim Kloos a little bit, but as much as it's weird to say, he's actually done a really good job there, and I think he's doing a good job again this year, given all that they've had to go through.
Right. That's the upcoming schedule. Rider, only one game this week. They're hosting Manhattan, which...
But just for old time's sake,
they should win, but they'll probably lose.
Yeah. Oh, God. There was a time where that game was so compelling. It's not now, that Iona-Monmouth game.
Yeah, Iona-Monmouth was a very good rival. Was looking like a great rivalry budding in this conference, but...
Yeah, when you had the coaches trash-talking the bench on Twitter, it was just phenomenal.
Rocco, the Mid-American Conference. Let's talk something good here. Now, Buffalo, not technically under the radar, but we've got a couple other really good teams in this conference, and surprisingly, a Bowling Green team off to a 4-0 start also.
Bowling Green playing great basketball. They squeaked out a win over Ball State, which I've got bookmarked to go back and watch the highlights. Unfortunately, I missed that. But I'm impressed with Bowling Green. I think they've played pretty good basketball all year long. I think even in their non-conference losses, they battled.
It's eight wins in a row for the Falcons now.
Yep. Yeah, eight wins in a row. Yeah, so I'm really impressed with what they're doing. And I'm a little disappointed with Eastern Michigan's effort last night, losing to Akron after everything Akron's been dealing with. Because Eastern Michigan, I thought, maybe came back to life last week with a great week.
Yeah, they crushed Kent State on Saturday.
Crushed Kent State, yeah. So they're a mystery team, a little schizophrenia going on in Ypsilanti.
Yeah, Akron, oh, God, not to harp on this too much, but a real unfortunate – I don't even want to make fun of it. It was just a really unfortunate, stupid locker room issue where I think two teammates got in a fight. One ended up going to the hospital. Another ended up being removed from the team. So, like, for them to be able to come out and beat anybody – is kind of a testament to their ability to rebound from that. But this Akron team prior to that had been looking pretty good. You kind of hate to see it go off the rails like that.
Yeah, let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here. John, I'll ask you about what games you might be circling. Obviously, Buffalo's two games, we always got to circle. But beyond those two games, what else are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking at Ohio going to Toledo on Friday, because Ohio, even though they're only 1-3, they can be a bit of a noisemaker. And I would say the same thing about a Ball State, where they had some nice wins against the Missouri Valley in their non-conference portion. So it's kind of surprising to see them off to a 1-3 start in league play. But they go to Central Michigan on Saturday and then host Miami on Tuesday. So those are games they really need to win to get back in the thick of the race.
Yeah, also circle that Toledo-Kent State game next Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's the one that I was looking at. That one's going to be good.
David, let me throw one of your favorite conferences over to you, the MEAC.
Okay. Yeah, we've got the team of the people playing some good ball, but can't just seem to get over the top, losing another close one last week. But, you know, some distance here at the top. One of the bigger surprises, North Carolina Central, who was just abysmal out of conference, getting their first three conference wins in Norfolk.
David, time out. Every team in this conference was abysmal non-conference.
Okay, so you're agreeing with my assessment that
yes,
they were abysmal. Okay. And we've got a couple sitting area. When you look at all the teams that are sub 300, I mean, this is ripe for a sitting area award winner, especially if Maryland Eastern Shore has what it takes to lose all these games. They could win the sitting area.
Eastern Shore showing a little bit of life, only losing by less than 10 on Monday night at home against North Carolina A&T. But
yeah,
that's the best you could say about it, that they've done all season, a really, really right, bad season in Eastern Shore.
This league might be – well, I don't think it's as bad as the SWAC top to bottom, but the best team out of the two leagues is clearly in the SWAC. So this is this conference has first four written all over it.
Oh, yeah, in Sharpie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocco, there's the upcoming schedule. Any of these games that you're going to try to catch, if, to the extent that any of them can even be watched on television?
Harvard at Howard. I want to see how that I want to see how that one shakes out. If Harvard keeps playing the way they are, Howard might bite them. But besides that, I've got a gut feel on this North Carolina Central team to be able to eventually win the league. But they've been kind of all over the place. They do have a nice 3-0 start going, so we'll see if they can hold serve at home this weekend.
All right. Sleeka, you wanted to talk Missouri Valley about 40 minutes ago, so let me let you talk some Missouri Valley.
Yeah, well, this is a case of where parity is going to be hurting the conference more than helping it, given some of their disappointments out of conference. So Loyola actually has quietly gotten off to a 4-1 start and also got a big win at home against Valpo last night. So this seems to be the time of the year where they do start to warm up, but this year – it won't be anywhere close to an 11 seed, but at their current pace, probably looking more like a 13 or a 14, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see this as a 13 seed right now, but Rocco, if they should Loyola continue to play the way they're playing and actually run through this league, which I think they're capable of doing, we could be talking 13, can't we?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And a lot of that, you know, do enough brackets, you start to realize this. A lot of it has nothing to do with them. Usually it's about the other teams that get the other bids, and then it's just comparing them. And if there's enough upsets in the other leagues, they'll still get a 13 because there'll be a regular season. And, we're just assuming, but a regular season and a tournament champion, and then get some other upsets, they'll get up to 13. But right now, if we just assume that all the favorites win their auto bid, they're probably going to land at 14. And if a team like Valpo or, you know, Indiana State or somebody else wins it, they're probably going to maybe even go down as low as 15.
But what's really going to be hurting this league is, I think it's Nick Norton's injury at Drake where he tore his ACL and is out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, at this point, I'm almost writing Drake off because of it and lousy conference.
Yeah, that real unfortunate. He was a key player at UAB before transferring in as a grad transfer and was having a really good year. You hate to see his career end like that. You really hate to see that.
He was sensational in the San Diego double overtime game. They won that tournament.
Right, yeah.
Beat New Mexico State, too.
Yeah. And I got to mention here, though, heading into the season, all four teams from the state of Illinois we liked at this conference. Illinois State's had an awful non-conference. Southern Illinois and Bradley showed some life there. It's gotten to conference play, it's been reversed, and Illinois State's the only one that's showing a little life out of those three. Bradley, really disappointing at 0-4 in league play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a chunk of bipolar teams right now. Illinois State stands out in that category. But I think Bradley, I have no idea, but the wheels have completely fallen off. They're getting blown out again right now against Drake. So I have no idea what's going on there, but there might be some changes coming if this continues.
Upcoming schedule there, and David, real interesting week for Loyola at Indiana State, at Missouri State.
Yeah, it is. And again, if they're going to start to kind of set themselves apart, this is the week they're going to do it.
And David, let me stick with you over as we move over to the Northeast Conference.
Yeah.
Is one of our favorite leagues.
Oh, one of the best. And here we are. Look, I mean, I know that we're only four games in, but one game separating the top eight teams. It's beautiful. This is, again, great atmosphere, great rivalry. St. Francis Brooklyn, kind of disappointed because they losing both their games this week after we thought that they might have something going. But, again, the importance of this league is home court advantage in the conference tournament. Wagner, I think they were the team that you're big on. They seem to be out to the lead right now. Still nobody above 500 in D1, but it's coming.
Yeah, and I would note, you said they won one game. Fairleigh Dickinson here does have the second best NET rating in the conference. So we got nine teams there in contention. About St. Mary's, maybe not. But
I want to draw your attention because, like we do, you get five games every Thursday night. They're all kind of going on at the same time, and five every Saturday. And if you were like me last Thursday, look at the scores of the games. They were all close. This league is hard to watch because you just don't – all five games are good, and you can't watch all five.
You watch maybe three or four at a time. But Rocco, you had a comment?
Yeah. I'd like to just give a shout-out to Donnell Marshall's Central Connecticut State Blue Devils for getting a road sweep, a difficult road sweep at Fairleigh Dickinson and Mount St. Mary's last week. The Fairleigh Dickinson game went to double overtime. pretty impressive. They had a nice little start to the season. They're definitely improving. They're now in like the mid 250s in KenPom. So we'll see. Maybe this is the year for Donyell Marshall to get his team to the tournament.
I would normally at this point ask one of you to comment on the upcoming games for this week, but just watch all of them.
Just watch all of them.
We do need to circle Monday night, St. Francis, Brooklyn, LIU, Brooklyn.
We still love Manhattan, Iona, but this year this one's taking its place is in our ranking of UTR rivalries.
This may be the best in-conference under-the-radar rivalry. Belmont Lipscomb better than this out-of-conference, but in-conference.
Yeah. Kent State Akron is still pretty classic, but this one is awesome. The Blackbirds and the – yeah.
Salika, how about the OVC?
This is one of the rare under-the-radar conferences, it seems, where the cream of the crop really is pulling away with Belmont's loss to Jacksonville State notwithstanding. But there's also one other team that's crashing the top four, and that's going to be the Governors of Austin Peay.
Yes.
Granted, this week they were able to get a couple cupcake wins against UT Martin and Southeast Missouri
State. They were both on the road, though, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, look at the top four of this league. It's as we expected back before the season started. You got Murray State, Belmont, Austin Peay, Jack State, all with double digit wins. And then you've got one other team that has more than four total D1 wins. It is a cavern in between the top and the bottom.
A chasm.
Thank you. Chasm. I said chasm. Chad, we got to start the show.
Rocco, though, Murray State's NET up to 42. Is there an at-large possibility? Let's pull their profile up. But is there an at-large chance here for the Racers?
Well, they'll need to win at Belmont. That's the key game because Belmont's got the highest rating today. And then they also need to win at Jacksonville State. I'm not sure how high they're up to yet.
Well, they're going to have a little problem winning at Belmont because they don't play at Belmont this year. So,
Their
only game is a home game against them on the 24th.
Yeah, so I don't think that's impressive enough to change their situation. So I'm going to say no.
You have to beat them in the OVC hotbed that is Evansville, Indiana.
But what if they win every single game between now and the OVC finals and they lose there to Belmont? Hell of a record.
Then I'm not going to sleep on the Saturday before Selection Sunday because I'm
right. Well, thing about this Murray State team, and we've seen them do this before. They knew. I don't know if they knew that they were going to be this good, but they knew they were going to be good, and they did themselves no favors with how they scheduled. You look at Belmont. Belmont gave themselves chances. They went to Purdue. They went to UCLA. They played Lipscomb twice, who, while under the radar, is still good. Murray State played Bethel and Spalding. And like they, if I'm counting right, we've got 1, 2, 3, about 8 games against teams outside the top 200, and they're out of conference games. Like, I know that they want to play at home, and I know you just don't want to play road by game after road by game, but they should have given themselves more chances than what they did.
But I think, in the fairness to Murray State, teams like Southern Illinois, Wright State, Middle Tennessee, not nearly as good as you would have expected.
Well, that's true too.
But you look at what Belmont did, David. Look at their quadrant four wins there. Now, several of these are not our conference wins that they got no chance, no option there. They played Middle Tennessee. That was a very good Middle Tennessee team last year.
Yeah.
They played Illinois State, who was supposed to be a lot better than this. You know, they played Kennesaw, but at least they played them on the road. I mean, they only took one pass there against Trevecca Nazarene, I think.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the couple losses are going to hurt Belmont there.
Right. And Western Kentucky, another team they played, like, you know, UCLA, Purdue.
So this is where I would be really curious in that Murray State situation, if they did get all the way to the final with nothing but wins between now and then.
Well, because they might. I mean, that's the thing. They're going
to
be –
Because they're starting to say, and I'm trying to pay attention to as many of these interviews with committee people, that the final scores of games is going to be important. And when you look at those two losses, they played two tough teams in their homes and played them to the wire.
Well, and blew it against Alabama.
And blew it against Alabama. I watched that game, yeah. So
yeah.
I think if you turn on the film and you compare them to what's going to be eventually the bubble, you know, middle of the pack Power 5 teams or Power 6 teams, It's why on earth would you not want Murray State over one of those teams? I still don't understand that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that glaring strength of schedule 327 number that just yeah. you just gotta
you play better. Yeah.
History is not on their side. I get that.
Right.
Let's take a look at the upcoming games, though. David, yeah. what we see this week? What are you?
Well,
gonna
it's the showcase game of yeah. the year during the regular season. It probably won't be the only time they play, even though it's the only time they're scheduled. But yeah, we've got. Wait a minute.
No, not this week. That's still another week away.
Okay, that's another week away.
Belmont, Jacksonville.
Well, Belmont at Jack State is probably the game.
Unless the UT Martin Eastern Kentucky game is the showcase. That
well, yes, it is.
I mean, that could be a battle to see which team.
Really I don't even know what week it is. There's too many teams. But no, Belmont Jack State is the game to watch.
That's going to be a great game, especially at Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville State, this is revenge time for Belmont because they lost at home already to them, didn't they?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was Belmont's one loss was at home to Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Jacksonville right. State team's a senior-laden team, and, you know, I think that's going to be a great – I got to make sure to track that tomorrow.
Yep.
Right. Rocco, let me stick with you in the Patriot League. Standings are coming up on the screen right now. Lehigh and Bucknell now tied for first place after Lehigh. Kind of a surprising loss to Colgate, I thought.
Yeah, I just think this Bucknell team is not what the brand of Bucknell is in years past. I think they're right there with some of these other upper echelon Patriot League teams like Lehigh. And, you know, Holy Cross and Colgate could also be right up there too, just in terms of similar talent level. But there's not a team in this league that's good enough to go out there and dominate. Bucknell is getting the wins still, but they're struggling to get the wins, and it's a different type of statement that they're making.
John, how about Army and Navy, both 3-2?
Yeah, for Army, it's certainly one of their better records, but Navy, they have not gone to the tournament since 1998, and honestly really haven't been that competitive since other programs in the Patriot League started to add scholarships like Lehigh, Bucknell, that had been, well, in the case of Lehigh, they were actually down without the scholarships, but Bucknell almost always seems to be in the top half of this league historically.
David, the upcoming schedule in the Patriot League, speak about Army-Navy, one of the other great rivalries, Army and Navy, yep. Saturday.
Yeah, that one should be fun. It's always a fun game to watch. Another one, we'll get to that in a little bit, that's fun to watch. It's Citadel VMI, but Army and Navy, always good to watch. But
of course, the big game, though, is the Bucknell-Lehigh game.
Yeah, Bucknell-Lehigh is, and again, huge, huge importance because of home court advantage.
All right. John, over in the SoCon, let's talk about a couple of questions here. Let me start with the very first question. It's kind of a question that we asked in our Hoops HD report also the other night, but is there a chance for a two-bid SoCon when you look at these top 100 metrics for four different teams?
I like their chances a little bit more a couple weeks ago, but it's – best way you're going to see two bids is if someone probably knocks off Wofford in the conference tournament in the title game, because Greensboro laid a pretty big egg at home against the Ooh. Terriers earlier in the week, which is not good. But East Tennessee yeah. State also quietly getting some wins of note at Citadel and at Mercer and Furman. They understandably lost on the road to Greensboro, who is not going to be in the best of moods. But other than that, you are seeing the cream of the crop separating themselves, where you have another bit of a chasm between the top four and the bottom six in this conference.
Yeah. How about this Wofford profile now with that? We're talking about a Murray State NET in the 40s, 29 net rating now for Wofford.
Great net rating. And the UNC Greensboro win is falling under quadrant one at this point.
Yeah.
And they've got Wofford's best chance to get in is honestly if South Carolina ends up having an amazing year. Because the better that win can look later on the road, beating them by 20, you know, the better off Wofford's paper is going to continue to improve. But if South Carolina falls apart, that just doesn't look like much. So South Carolina kind of holds the keys to Wofford's future, which is pretty interesting. And beyond that, you know, this team is sensational. I mean, that game against Greensboro, it was over before it started. They just came out shooting the lights out, and you know, Fletcher McGee and those guys, they've got a lot of experience. It's going to be a really tough team to knock out at the SoCon tournament when we get there.
Yeah, and yeah. Wofford's getting top 25 votes. Furman also on the right there is getting top 25 votes still. And,
right.
And how can you argue? Look at the 6 road wins, including 2 against the top 2 tiers. Look at that. You take the names off that profile. That's a nice profile for Furman.
Yeah, it's better than some of the teams that are in the top 25. Wofford did what you're supposed to do, and that's what Murray State really didn't. They gave themselves a lot of chances. I think they were swinging a little too far over their heads with Kansas in particular. But one of the things about that Kansas game, they were ahead 42-40. I want to say the under 12, and they ended up losing 72-47, so completely ran out of gas. But I think that they're playing better now than they were in November and December. Even I know the teams they're playing aren't as good, but if they were to get another shot at a couple of those, I think that they might beat them again.
I agree.
Let's take a quick look at those other two profiles in this conference, John. I'll pull up both East Tennessee State and UNC Greensboro. Is there any type of arguments that could be made, as these should be loading here in half a second, made for these teams, especially look at Greensboro, without a loss out of the top tier there?
Well, one thing they do both have in common is they've both beaten Furman at home, and obviously East Tennessee State winning at a Winthrop. It will pay some dividends, at least compared to Greensboro, who also has a win against Louisiana Tech in their back pocket. But suddenly losing at Illinois, I mean, the profile will say tier 2, but Illinois is probably a lot worse than that, so that might actually be the worst loss for the Bucks on this profile.
And that might be the worst loss of any of these four teams here. But the other thing that is interesting about this is normally when you get into conference play in a conference like this, there's no more chances for good wins. Rocco, there are chances for good wins left for these teams.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I like that. And that gives Wofford and Furman and the two profiles you just had up, I don't give them too much of a chance because their non-conference strength schedule is really bad, especially in the case of ETSU. But I do think ETSU is a very good team. And, you know, if they couldn't schedule the games, they couldn't schedule the games. But they're not a team you would want to see in the bracket in March.
You wouldn't. And the one thing that's going to be so much fun about this all year long, you kind of wish that this – tournament was at campus sites like some of the other ones. It's not. It's in Nashville. It's in Asheville.
Asheville.
Yes. Yeah. But if the chalk holds, that is a hell of a semifinal.
That would be the only good basketball being played in Asheville this year. So
yeah.
Saturday, circle this one. Furman at Wofford, David.
Yeah. I got to say, I think Wofford wins, and I think Wofford wins huge.
Okay. I agree with you. I think Wofford is really good. Yeah.
We'll circle both games because you also have Greensboro and East Tennessee State facing off.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, John.
And I think East Tennessee State could win that game big too, just like Wofford, honestly, the way Greensboro's looked lately.
All right. Rocco, over in the Southland Conference, I believe we just saw another upset. It should be on the screen there, hopefully, tonight. Yes, no, it didn't populate. Let me see. But Stephen F. Austin just lost another game again tonight. They lost to New Orleans. So,
yeah,
there it is. It just showed up on the screen.
I think their current roster right now is just not a good roster. They had the injury earlier in the year, and they're just not a good team right now. So they basically just become a basic Southland team, which is one in three.
Yeah,
which is weird. Sam Houston State's playing good ball, though. They won by 20 again tonight, and they're 4-0 now. So, and New Orleans themselves, they're showing some life like they did the last couple of years, starting with a 4-1 start. And then Abilene Christian, a team who just became eligible, I think it was last year, to be an NCAA tournament team. Yeah, so they're going to be right up there, I think, with these. And I do like Nichols, too. So I think between those four – is probably what it could come down to unless something turns around for SFA.
Yeah, it's amazing, though. If the conference tournament was right now, SFA wouldn't even be in the conference tournament, only the top 8.
Yeah, that is pretty wild.
That is wild. There goes a lot of the tickets, too.
David, upcoming this next week here in the Southland Conference, let's see what if anything are we circling here? We normally circle SFA games, but and I guess
maybe Abilene Christian is a pretty good story. As Rocco said, they recently transitioned up. They go to SFA. It's fun. I know that their schedule's been pretty much weak, but still, for a team that so recently transitioned, it's fun to be able to watch them beat anybody. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that, and you know, I'm kind of rooting for them. You like to see a team take the gamble, make the jump like that, and have it pay off the way it seems to be paying off for them.
Right. And Saturday we've got the Battle of Houston.
Yes, Sam Houston State, Houston Baptist. It's a road test for Sam Houston. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an asterisk there because Sam Houston State's actually not in Houston.
Well, but it's Baptist may not be either.
They are. I've actually been there.
John, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, where the best team is sitting at 2-1. Am I correct?
Yeah, that would be because of their neighbors from Prairie View who actually upset Texas Southern over the weekend. So, along with Pine Bluffs, the Panthers will actually be one of the co-leaders for the time being. But at the same time, I think we also have to give a little credit to a team like Alabama State, who also got a win in Mississippi Valley State. So they're going to be within half the game of first as well. Jackson State also getting two wins themselves to remain in a tie for third, along with the Hornets of Alabama State.
All right. How about Alabama State now up to 3-1 conference?
Yeah, kind of surprising. Alabama A&M is the team that's been just atrociously bad.
They've got to win too. But David, we have four teams in D1 without a D1 win. Two of them are in this conference here with Alcorn State and Southern. Could we have the worst team in D1 actually in the SWAC this year?
Yeah, I still think it's Eastern Shore, but it might be in the SWAC.
Okay. And I would note that Texas Southern loss, I forget his name slips my mind, but one of their best players was out for that game.
Right.
So that you can put an asterisk by that loss to Prairie View. I think they do bounce back from that. Rocco, is there anything to look forward to this week here in the SWAC as this schedule comes up?
I need to just take a quick glance. Okay, so no.
No? Okay.
Grambling, Texas Southern. Yeah,
Grambling, a little disappointed. I thought they'd be a little bit better. They lost a couple games, but they're at Texas Southern. We could circle that a little bit. David, how about the Summit League?
We've got South Dakota State, who it's weird to say this about a 5-1 team in league play, but I still think that we're a little disappointed in them, what they did out of conference. They, to me, I thought were a team that was good enough to be hovering around the bubble and maybe get inside of it. That ship has sailed. They're 5-1, but one of their wins better be that last one because they're going to need the automatic bid to get in. Unless they absolutely destroy the planet and win out. I don't think anybody else really comes close to them talent-wise. This is a team that's outperformed everyone in the league despite not playing up to their potential. If they start doing that, I don't think anybody can really touch them.
Rocco, last week we started singing the praises of Fort Wayne. Sunday they go and they lose to a pretty mediocre South Dakota team.
Yeah, tough. The travel bug, I think, hit them, and they looked a little flat that night. But I do think also, you know, we'll see if Fort Wayne's a long-term contender. I do think this Omaha team is scrappy. I got to see them play against Colorado in the non-conference, and I think it either went to overtime or Colorado won right at the buzzer. And they've been battling everybody tough, and they're actually taking care of business in the games they're supposed to win. So maybe they're a team to keep our eye on.
John, how about the upcoming schedule in the Summit?
If we can pull it up, there we go. South Dakota actually going to be going to Oral Roberts and Omaha, so we'll see if they're able to build on their momentum against Fort Wayne. And
Dakota State doesn't have any games until next Thursday because after their game tonight.
Yep. And then Fort Wayne gets a chance to rebound at Western Illinois on Saturday.
They must have finals, huh?
Maybe. Or they're probably playing Thursday, but nothing this weekend. You do have one team always off because of the nine teams in the conference, odd number of teams. But John, let me go back to you for and as we hit the Summit League with a team that I'm very high on right now at the top there.
That be Texas State or Georgia State?
Georgia State. Ron Hunter.
4-0 in the SEC.
4-0 in the Sun Belt. I mean, that's 6-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, Georgia State is the unknown commodity here, sweeping both of the Louisiana schools. But Texas State, they also get the win at Coastal Carolina and App State over the weekend against that set of travel partners. But at the same time, Georgia Southern was another team that we were expecting some great things as well. But they only get, one win at home and a bit of a surprising loss against the Cajuns on Saturday.
Yeah, not an awful Cajuns team, but I don't believe in this Texas State team. Do you?
Not as much. They've got that bloated record, but they've got that really, really weak strength of schedule. You see, Georgia State has done it against a top 100 strength of schedule. Texas State has done it against a bottom 30 strength of schedule, or 31, excuse me, but still a really weak schedule. And I know that they're off to a 3-1 start, but they're not – like Georgia State is good, whereas Texas State is good at beating bad teams.
Yeah,
I'm having a hard time biting my tongue here because Georgia State got away with murder in the win over Louisiana Monroe. Simon took the game-winning layup and took four steps, no travel call. That should have been Louisiana Monroe ball, game over. Also, Louisiana Monroe earlier in the week to Georgia Southern loses on a buzzer beating three. That was the craziest worst luck week I've ever seen since probably the last 2 years of being on the show. My heart goes out to the Warhawks because I think they're playing really good basketball to be able to go on the road. And that's probably the toughest trip in the league. And essentially at both those games, it looked like for a lot of each game won. And to lose the way they did, I wonder how they're going to respond to that.
Yeah, two tough week for Monroe. They got this week coming up. They're actually got the rivalry game, just one game at home against the Cajuns. So
yeah,
win there should make them feel a lot better at least.
Yeah, they'll get them focused because that's a big rivalry game.
Yeah, road test this week for Georgia State, but at South Alabama and at Troy, who are both capable of upsetting them.
I agree.
Yeah,
that's a tough trip too.
David, how about the Western Athletic Conference?
Well, it got a new member. Did we announce that last week?
That was last week. Yeah,
we announced that last week. It was official. So, New Mexico State got one of the more exciting wins of the year against Grand Canyon,
to say the least.
Yeah. And again, that was Thursday, so that was after the show. It was phenomenally exciting, but I still think they're the best team in this conference. But in saying that, they haven't always played up to their ceiling. They kind of sweated, although they did finally sprint ahead in the last game. Cal Baptist, another good story, almost losing to Chicago State after beating New Mexico State earlier in the year.
I'm sorry. I just asked you about the conference, and you didn't even discuss the Rocco, the undefeated first place Ruse.
The Ruse, yeah, the Ruse. Well,
the Ruse. Yes, and I think the wins are against Chicago State and UCO Grand Valley.
No, they beat Cal Baptist was one of their wins.
Oh, they did. Yeah, that's right. They beat Cal Baptist last week.
Cal Baptist has already beat New Mexico State and pulled out a thriller against Chicago State over the weekend.
So the Ruse were in my first bracket of the year this last week. So they're officially on record as leading the WAC. It's pretty funny. Cal Baptist also, I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but they hit a game-winning three to beat Chicago State.
Yeah, they did.
I think that's at the buzzer.
Right. It would have been Chicago State's only their second D1 win of the year. I kind of hated to see them lose it.
But that's also the second time that Cal Baptist has won at the buzzer this year, if you also count their season opener at Oral Roberts back in November.
Yeah. Oh, that was crazy. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Upcoming schedule tomorrow night, we've got a first place battle between UMKC and Bakersfield. I've never said that before in my life. Never will again. interesting road test from New Mexico State and Seattle team that's been struggling in conference play as well. Yeah.
After looking really good out of conference, 0-3 to start off for Seattle, kind of a disappointment.
Seattle hasn't played a home game yet, though, so this could be a tough game for New Mexico State.
Yeah.
And a game that I thought could have, a few years ago, could have developed into a real good rivalry on Saturday, David, the New Mexico State at Utah Valley after that incredible fight about 5-6 years ago, but it hasn't really become the rivalry we wanted it to be after that.
Right. New Mexico State is now like it's Grand Canyon that bothers them. If you don't read Twitter, you need to start reading New Mexico State's and Grand Canyon's Twitter feeds, because it's hilarious watching them go at each other. I don't know if it's a rivalry, but it's definitely a feud, at least on Twitter. It's hysterically funny.
Those are some great crowds too at either place. So
yeah,
great atmosphere.
All right, let's go over to our top 10 list then. John, how does the top 10 list? We need teams.
Teams tied.
Yeah, we had a lot of ties again this week.
We may need to re-examine how we rank teams.
Let's start with two teams that did not make the top 10. Honorable mentions only: New Mexico State and Yale. Did get a little bit of love, but not enough to make the top 10. But John, a four-way tie for 10th place. So get your takes on all four of these. Charleston, Irvine, East Tennessee State, and Stony Brook.
Yeah, Stony Brook would be probably my favorite out of those four as one of the America East leaders right here. But Irvine, again, is going to be fighting it out with Santa Barbara for Big West supremacy.
Yeah, and David voted for Charleston, which I would not have done.
I shouldn't have. I admitted earlier that it was a mistake. Okay. So
number nine, though, better than them, and deservedly better than them, is Hofstra.
Deservedly better than them.
Rocco, we got a two-way tie for seventh place here between North Texas out of CUSA and Liberty, the second team out of the second best team, I think, out of that conference.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, easily.
At number six overall is Furman, with that impressive resume. And quite honestly, I'm one of those that had them up there, just because the resume is still there.
Yeah, it is.
I think it will fade away. I do agree with you, but I think it's still there. The two-way tie for fourth place here should be coming up on the screen any second. Belmont is there, and they are tied with Georgia State.
Ooh, yeah, like the Georgia State team.
All right, coming in at number three, Lipscomb.
Yeah, interesting. They're ranked ahead of Belmont, even though Belmont beat them twice, but it's not crazy because Lipscomb has a really good win at TCU.
Number two is Murray State out of the OVC, the team that we discuss as having an outside shot at it at large because of what their overall record could be.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be any surprise as who's number one, though, because the team that we seriously discussed for at large consideration, Wofford Terriers.
Yeah.
On that note, though, let me pull this down and let's run through all of you for any final thoughts. Sleek, let me start with you. Any thoughts on the night?
I wasn't here last week when we discussed Dixie State being admitted to the WAC, but there was an article in the Daily Sentinel that highlighted a couple things. Number one, apparently they had a rivalry with Utah Valley that goes back to their Division II days. And then number two, they're also going to be paying roughly $2 million to join the WAC, where they'll actually be paying a $100,000 exit fee to the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference in D2, an entry fee of $125,000 to the WAC, and then they'll be paying $1.7 million to the NCAA as a one-time entry fee to Division I.
Yeah, most of that fee is the NCAA fee,
which is ridiculous. They're essentially trying to make it. Well, anyway, it used to be about $15.
So if it was $15, I'd suggest that we join the NCAA.
Yeah. But,
at the same time, they're also filling a vacancy since Bakersfield is also leaving at the same time to go to the Big West.
Yeah.
They'll keep the conference the same number of members. But, Rocco, any other final thoughts from you?
Yeah, so Cornell's Matt Morgan's had a heck of a career, but he had never made more than 6 3-pointers in the game. He shoots a lot of shots if you look at big red box scores. And what he was able to do at Towson last week shattered his personal best when he connected on 9 3-pointers, scored 38 points, and the Big Red took care of Towson by 12.
Oh, good win for the Big Red too. David.
Just as we're recording this, an under the radar team that we did not discuss, Illinois, up big on Minnesota right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Illinois. I don't know why we didn't discuss them. Which conference are they in?
I don't know. One of the Missouri Valley, I think.
I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of John Stalica, wait, over there maybe, I don't know, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. If you're in Boston, go to the game. Say hello to him tomorrow night, right?
Yes, please do. I will be in press row tomorrow. Can't wait to see those two teams play.
And David Griggs was with us, too, for some reason. I'm Chad Sherwood, though. Thanks for joining us. We'll be recording another podcast tomorrow night, and we're doing another bracket rundown show, right,
David? Yeah, we are.
All right, should be fun. We'll talk to you again real soon.